join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
There's an old legal term in Latin, hostis humani generis, or in English, enemy of the human race. The term apparently originates from the ideas that the high seas were common to all humanity, and that a crime such as piracy made pirates an enemy of the whole human race, beyond legal protection, subject to the violence of anyone. The term also applied early on to slavers, and more recently to torturers, and some would have applied now and in the future to terrorists. Somewhere in the middle of all of that, Christians applied the term enemy of the human race to the devil. And passages like today's gospel reading may well have been used in support of such an application. In today's gospel reading, the Lord Jesus Christ prays his Holy Father to keep his disciples in the Father's name, and so from the evil one, as their and all believers, if not all humanity's, enemy. And Jesus prays his Father to sanctify his disciples in truth. With those two specific petitions in mind, this morning we reflect on the gospel reading under the theme, Kept and Sanctified. Today's gospel reading is an excerpt of the 17th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, Jesus' so-called high priestly prayer, prayed on the night when he was betrayed, while he was still in the upper room with his disciples. In each of the 3 years of our cycle of appointed readings, we hear an excerpt of this prayer on the seventh Sunday of Easter, although those excerpts do not quite align with the three sections of the prayer in which Jesus in turn prays for himself, for his disciples, and for all future believers. In the prayer as a whole, Jesus prays as if he has left the world and is going to the Father. So our hearing the prayer on this seventh Sunday of Easter is especially appropriate, as the day comes on the church calendar between Ascension, when Jesus ended his post-resurrection appearances to his disciples, and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in a special way on those disciples, in some sense an answer to Jesus' prayer for them to be kept and sanctified. Jesus prays his Holy Father to keep his disciples in the Father's name, and so from the evil one. And Jesus prays his Father to sanctify his disciples in truth. Jesus mentioning his Father's holiness and the need for the disciples to be made holy contrasts with his repeated mentions of the unholy world and is in keeping with the need for the disciples to be kept in the Father's name and from the evil and unholy one, the devil. Like the disciples, by nature we are not only in the world, but we are of the world. We are not by nature holy, but unholy. Because we are born of sinful flesh, we inherit from our first parents the corruption of original sin. And so we commit countless actual sins of thought, word, and deed. We dishonor our parents. We disregard life. We live unchaste lives. We steal. We lie. We covet. On account of our sins, we all deserve to be children of eternal destruction, like Judas, like the devil, and all those who follow his temptations and do not repent. But God, mercifully and graciously calls and enables us to repent, to turn in sorrow from our sin, to trust him to forgive our sin, and to want to do better than to keep on sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives our sin, whatever our sin might be. God forgives all our sin for Jesus' sake. As we heard in the gospel reading, for the disciples and for our sake, Jesus consecrated himself, made himself holy, that the disciples and that we might also be made holy. Of course, true God in human flesh, the God-man Jesus Christ was already holy. But as our high priest, he set himself apart, made himself a holy sacrifice on the cross for us. Only because of his death on the cross for us can we be made holy. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to save the world. Whoever believes in him will not be destroyed eternally, but will have eternal life. Today's epistle reading reminded us of this testimony of God the Father concerning his Son, that God gave us eternal life in his Son, by grace on account of that Son, through faith in that Son. And God gives us that grace and creates that faith in specific ways. In today's first reading, we heard how the disciples returned from Jesus' ascension and were God's instruments for putting Matthias into Judas's office, which had been vacated as Scripture had prophesied. The apostles' ministry was so important that that office had to be filled that quickly. For as the Father sent Jesus into the world, so Jesus had sent the apostles into the world. The office of the Holy Ministry preaches the word of truth that sanctifies or makes holy. We do not sanctify ourselves however we want to, but we are sanctified only by the word in all of its forms. We're sanctified as we hear his word preached and believe that word. We are sanctified when we are baptized and receive its gifts in faith. For there, at the baptismal font, we are born not of worldly flesh, but of God, born from above, of water and the Spirit. As God's triune name is put on us in baptism, we who privately confess to our pastors the sins that we know and feel in our heart are individually absolved in that same triune name. And we are sanctified as we partake of Jesus' body with bread and of his blood with wine in the sacrament of the altar. As he sanctified himself for us, so his body and his blood are for us. And in him, we have sanctification. United in him sacramentally, we all are one body, even if in this lifetime that unity remains an unseen object of faith. Through his word in all its forms, God both keeps us in his name from the evil one and sanctifies us in the truth. We are marked with, protected by, and united in his name, and we teach and practice according to his truth. God would like for us to transform the world. And to that end, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, among other things, that his name be holy and that we be delivered from evil. With God's word, we have Jesus' joy fulfilled in ourselves, even as we see the world fail to be transformed and instead hate us and all Christians as it hated Jesus first, with an intense, murderous hatred. One internet blogger claims that in the ancient Roman world, Christians were referred to as hostis humani generis, an enemy of the human race, undeserving of any legal protection. Although that particular internet blogger gave no example of such an ancient reference, there has been a similar reference more recently, 2 years ago in dissenting to two U.S. Supreme Court rulings on so-called gay marriage, Justice Antonin Scalia said the court's majority adjudged those who oppose gay marriage, hostis humani generis, enemies of the human race. Whether or not the world so labels Christians, the world hates Jesus Christ and all faithful Christians because they testify that its works are evil. Yet even the hatred of the world is no reason for us to lose sight of Jesus' joy fulfilled in ourselves. We who believe are chosen out of the world. We are kept and sanctified by his word in all its forms. And as we endure to the end, we will be saved.
Amen.
I would hope. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.